What's up, everyone, and welcome to episode 174 of the Albert Kesser podcast. I am your host, Albert, and let's dive right into it. So it's the Dune logo today. Today, I think it's the most beautiful, like quintessential, elegant, minimalist, uffa. You know, the Italian is coming out. Just essence capturing a logo that I've ever seen. So I'll dive right in. This is the second time I've started the stream, but now I see that the audio is working, so that's pretty good. But yeah, so here we go. The U is a shape that I love so much, because it taps into what Joseph Campbell would talk about, which is the monomyth. Because we begin in a high point, we dip into a low point, and then we go back to a high point. It symbolically evokes the monomyth, which is what Paul Atreides' story is. And then it's also like half of a story, you know. So it's half, so that you feel compelled to see the rest. It's like you're invited to complete the circle. I love that symbolism there. I could write like an essay on this logo. I love it so much. And so that rotation. Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks, Anzac. Good to see you. So that's a testament to this logo, by the way, that I'm just flipping this much out about it just on a logo level. It's just, you know, and I've been a long time like Star Wars person and Lord of the Rings and all that. But, you know, I just don't think you can beat this logo in terms of, you know, quintessential, and then also excitement stoking, you know. It's really beautiful. So it's the same shape, the same U shape that goes, I wonder if I can do it, D-U-N-E, you know. It's just, I love that rotation. It's so beautiful, so quintessential. And then to create the E at the end, right, it's just the planet itself, and I love it because, you know, Dune itself is the planet. Arrakis, the desert planet, is what the whole story is about. So it's just to have that beautiful, to have that little dot, which is like this crucial, you know, this plot crucial and galaxy universe crucial location, represented right there in the logo, and then to have it be the defining thing that defines the word of E, you know, exploration and excitement, you know. It's a beautiful, it's just so beautifully, beautifully composed. But so there you go. The other thing I dove into, thank you, Anzac in the chat right now, for helping me with the audio, is that I'm just testing this out. This is just off of the MacBook mic, but I just wanted to test this new setup out, and it seems really intuitive and lovely and easy to start with, you know, to set up, and that might even prompt me to just for the recording, just for podcasts at least, to use this until they have Safari support. So 4K camera, mic permanently hooked up, and then just jump on here, you know. It seems, so far at least, a pretty intuitive experience to just jump on live. And yeah, thanks, buddy. So yeah, there's the Galaxy reveal event, which is happening in February, I think, the Galaxy 20. I love how much the years are starting to be quite front packed. And you know, in my last episode, I discussed, you know, how the early part of the year is a bit quiet, but you know, it's really like there's the Grammys and all this kind of stuff happening, and you know, bless Tool for recognizing Neil Peart during their acceptance speech. You know, Danny Carey, rest in peace, Neil. I remember Neil from the Aqua Teen Hunger Force : movie film for theaters, and he played Neil. He played himself, and he knew how to bring someone back to life with a drum solo. So, you know, the drum solo of life, you know. So if you watch that movie, you'll see that, and it's a little bit bittersweet because he's no longer with us, you know. And if only I could build a, you know, or do a drum solo of life for Neil, you know. Or not me, maybe my friend Peter. My friend Peter's a very good drummer, so But this is great. This is so handy. So rad. Imagine just chiming in just like this. This might be fun. Discovered the difference between Google News and Apple News. I really, really much prefer Google News because Apple News is a bit Orwellian. It doesn't actually let you. Oh, hey, thank you so much for the compliment on the KGF reactions. I appreciate it. I much prefer Google News, and I've done some like thinking recently about like who to throw your investment and weight behind as we go forward in this big technological, the war of tech and the war of streaming, right? Competition's always going to be healthy, and I really hope Disney doesn't end up owning everything. I maybe they themselves even recognize that it's better not to own everything because competition is what creates like business and opportunities and hopefully has the effect of each wanting to raise the standards of the other. Because if you just control everything, then it's there's no well there's some motivation because of money and at least I like to think that one of humanity's and like the human being's core, incontrovertible, inerasable, cannot be erased aspect is that we will always respond to quality more than quantity. I want to believe that. The Black Mirror visions of just, quantity over quantity. I something just doesn't sit right with me when I think about whether or not that's actually gonna transpire. But anyway, so my ultimate goal, Anzac, with I suppose I'll go from context. So the context, I suppose, let's just begin with the channel. My goal with the channel is to have those five. You can see the playlists there. I've made it into five, and you have the updates, the archive, the patterns, the reactions, and the podcast. So everything I put here on this channel will fit into one of those five. I love the number five. It's a nice all encapsulating quintessence. Quint is the Latin, for like for five. So that really fits for me there. So my storytelling stuff is also something I want to start developing. And in terms of, being shared on this channel, it will probably appear in I suppose patterns. I might rename patterns to like create creativity or creations or something like that. So that I have this one place that I can put everything, creatively that I do. Stories and such. That kind of fits actually. That's a good idea actually. Anzac, I wanna also really, like have fun. I wanna have fun with this place as well. And for me, the essence of fun is something you do out of the spirit of who you are, like unto yourself, right? And my version of that is, it's so exciting to think about the year that's coming ahead and how each year there's this beautiful sequence of events and also releases, So just as a brief thing, I'll just go over it. In January, you have CES, which is the technology stuff. You have Oscar nominations, which are very exciting. In February, you usually have the Super Bowl and Super Bowl trailers, and then you have Valentine's Day, which sometimes has lovely things surrounding it. And then March is a GDC, so we've already begun by that time, even that early in the year, we've begun the kind of like game event season, and I love my gaming events. So GDC in March, Godzilla versus Kong was going to come out in March, but it's not doing that anymore. But yeah, film releases, usually come out, start some big film releases start to come out in March. April again, similar. There's a, usually it's either EGX or PAX that sort of do the April. And then April and May, and then June is E3, and that's where things really, really, really start to get going. July is San Diego Comic-Con, and all of these, keep in mind, Anzac, keep in mind that all of these will bring with them like this ineff like irrepressible drive from me to just watch and just like I'll have the laptop on. I'll probably even just have this on as is. You know, until we, the next feature that I am really hoping that they do, and like, bless you, Google Chrome, for, you know, creating this feature, of being able to just open up Google Chrome and start an episode. Like, that's wonderful. Maybe I'm an old codger for not knowing that you could do that for so long. And again, you know, mics are going to be good for this, and nice 4K camera. And but yeah, anyway, back to my kind of timeline. So June, July, and then July is San Diego Comic Con. So many beautiful trailers and reveals. August is Gamescom, you know, which is, you know, really, really on the ascent in terms of becoming its own event. Geoff Keighley's probably going to do the Gamescom show again, you know, because he did that last year. September is Tokyo Game Show, you know, and some other nice film releases. October is Paris Games Week and Halloween and all that kind of stuff. November is BlizzCon and another batch of really cool film releases, usually. And December is the Game Awards. So it's just exciting. And so I get very excited at the idea of, you know, all this beautiful sequence of events happening throughout the year. It's like maybe the same thing that a farmer might feel when he's like, oh, yeah, you know, that's right. I do have it already planned. So we'll have, please tell me your plans, actually. You know, that'd be cool. We can riff back and forward about what we each have planned. So type away and I'll just riff on what you have in mind. Travel is also a plan. Actually, in terms of travel, we'll begin, you know, in terms of relevance to what the podcast is titled, which is The Dune. I definitely have the plan of heading out to Sydney, right? For the grand opening of the biggest screen in the world, which is the IMAX screen, which they closed down in 2015. It's so funny. I watched Star Wars The Force Awakens in Sydney in December of 2015, and then like a month or so later, they closed down, you know? And then they said that they were going to fix, they were going to like repair it and do a brand new thing. And, you know, Rise of Skywalker, Ray and I went to see it in Melbourne. But now, you know, it's going to be huge. And it's a beautiful building. You should look it up. So December of 2020 was when we're going to head off. Oh, everyone has plans, man. You know, without even knowing, you definitely have plans. You know, we might not have the same plans, but everyone has some kind of plan. Because, you know, and that doesn't mean, you know, a plan doesn't have to be like, I plan on traveling, I plan on doing these things. The plan can be like what I plan for the rest of the day, what I plan for the rest of the week, you know. But, you know, I will say it's a good idea to not over plan. That's definitely a good idea there. So yeah. I mean, I feel like tracing. Oh yeah, well, the big ones this year are going to be Ghostbusters and Dune. I think those are the two big ones, and they're very, very different projects, you know. And Jurassic World? No, Jurassic World 3 is coming out next year, and I'm really interested in hearing what Colin might end up titling that one. So there you go. Still completing your studies? I see. All right. Well, let me know what you're studying. So this is going out as a podcast later, and just for those who maybe skipped forward or whatever, I'm speaking with this lovely person in the chat called Anzac. And Anzac, you know, I don't know if it's a reference to, you know, the Australian New Zealand Army Corps. I think that's what the acronym is. But let me know if that's what that is. So, do I like FFO? No, I don't know what that is. Don't know what that is. So. It's so funny that I was able to make this work right after I talked about, it's a testament to the Dune logo. I saw this and I was like, if I'm going to just like instantly like blur, like start using this feature of Chrome, then it's going to be because of Dune. So, oh, FF9. I love FF9. It's absolutely beautiful. It's often been my number one, you know, 10 and 9 are often vying for jostling for position, but 15 is my favorite in terms of the dream come true kind of quality, which is a huge part of what I love about Final Fantasy. There's a dream fulfillment aspect of Final Fantasy which I love, because The whole world kind of gives you this sense of possibility and this sense of adventure and mythicalness and magicalness. And I'm really looking forward to Final Fantasy 15. So I wrote a bunch of articles recently about some upcoming stuff. So okay, cool. Tell me, you got to tell me your random story about your name. So to the folks listening on iTunes later, or sorry, Apple Podcasts later, this is me and this lovely person jumped into the chat. I think it's just he, she, they, or I. He, she, they, and I. Just having a chat. It's pretty neat. It's a really new experience. Also, it's 8:51 here in Australia, and it's a very chilled, was it Thursday morning? So there you go. Amazing. But what I am looking forward to is maybe developing a schedule with these. And also, I think YouTube is kind of like, kind of taking Twitch's lunch in terms of ease of use. Again, it's like anytime I go to Twitch, I get extremely existential because it just, unless I'm missing something, it just, you can't record direct to browser. Like, why not? We have like most laptops have like these forward-facing cameras. And I want to be able to, I swear, like, have one browser, and then in the bottom right, this is to you, YouTube. Like, bless your hearts. Thank you for enabling this. But in the bottom right of this video, imagine if I could right click, moving my cursor right now, right click, and then paste URL, right? And it, boom, immediately the video pops up of like a live video that I can immediately react to. And then this part, like that video becomes part of the video. And so then right there, the audio is shared. I don't know, maybe there's copyright stuff with that, but maybe, like, for example, with the Game Awards, Jeff Keighley can say, hey, okay, so it's like a permissions thing. So when Jeff is getting ready to post the URL or go live with the Game Awards, he sort of has, in this hypothetical setting I'm imagining, clicking a button that allows you to give permission for your stream to be incorporated during live reactions in other streams, like this one right here. So, and it can be either be a drag drop from like browser to browser, but I think a little entering a URL should be fine. Just copy paste our URL, post it in there. So, okay. So after I changed my name to Anzac, I knew its meaning after Googling it. By the way, I am a he. Okay, fantastic. Oh, awesome, dude. Fantastic. That's cool. Anzac is a nice name. It's we have Anzac biscuits here in Australia. So, yeah. This is great. I'm actually starting to really get the appeal of just like switching on and just boom. One of my favorite podcasts, probably my favorite podcast, is the Mega 64 podcast, because it just is the most free flowing and natural experience that I've seen. And so my vision for this is hopefully by about episode like 230 or something, I will just have a permanent setup where I can just maybe jump on either every day or however long, and I can have guests, that'd be rad. I think maybe a schedule might be good for that as well. But I see things as being really true, well and truly in the making with this. And the bringing of everything under one with Albert Kesser felt so, it brought so much relief. So, and the no social media is going extremely well as well. So, I would love to do gaming, Anzac. I really would. It's just, encoders and all that. As you've probably seen, look at these photos. You can probably tell that I get massively existential when it comes to, trying to figure that sort of stuff out. I just remember OBS kind of broke me with some of those attempts. Okay, here it is, Anzac. This is what I'm gonna do for you. No, I kind of want to do this. I'm curious. So I know, like these next consoles, buddy, are being made with the internet age, with 8K 5G in mind. That's my new hashtag, by the way. 8K 5G next 5, 10 years, 5 years. It'll be like 10K by in 10 years' time. My goodness. And so what I'm probably going to do is hopefully maybe I'll have some attempts here and there, but yeah, it's just like I just need things to be easy. Like, I've gotten to that age. I don't know, I'm 30, I'm 31. I've gotten to that maybe not even age, it's just that space emotionally or just energetically, where I just like I have so much love for folks, you know, and I certainly enjoy some games and some gaming experiences. And I've, you know, if you followed my full in order stuff, like for a while I was trying this thing of like sharing clips, and I must have shared at least like 20, 30 clips of that somewhere on the, you know, when I was doing the Star Wars mythology thing. But I understand that that's not the same thing. And, you know, just all that setup, like eliminate setup and you've got me. You simplify setup and oh my God, Anzac, you've got me. Like, and I know that that's what we're heading to. So if the more stuff can get out of the way in terms of setup, the better. Because I'm not in a rush. Like, I don't have fame on the agenda. I don't have anything else on the agenda apart from just being an authentic human being, energetically one for one, sharing, transparent, one for one with who I am, with the world. So there you go. So yeah, but if I were to specifically say which game, man, I would love to do Oddworld Soulstorm. Would be wonderful if I can get, or if technology kind of meets me halfway, or preferably it's just a thing where I can just, I'm on my TV, right? I've got, you know, maybe the PS5 might do this. And I just have this, you know, maybe like a USB from the back, and it's just a camera, and I can sit down, and I don't want like, and here's the thing with Skype allows you to blur your background automatically. It senses the contour of your body. Boom, it's done. Right. So, and again, I might just be an old codger with this and not be aware of it, but I've got my TV right here. It's how I did the Hellblade thing. I'm playing, right? Say I'm playing in like December of 2020, you know, and it's the PS5, and there's a, you know, I buy the, like, say at the counter or on Amazon, they sell this, you know, branded PS5 4K camera that comes with it. And they're like, by the way, like, you saw it on the stage presentation in February, which I'm predicting they'll do. You just plug this thing in, stick it under your it's an extra. It doesn't come with it. Or maybe it will, who knows? Stick it under your, or close to your TV or whatever. And it's so intuitive. It can, like the PlayStation Eye or something. And boom, like if it's like that and I just put in, you know, my YouTube details, boom, and it just goes, fuck yeah, then we're in business. And then Super Chat can happen if there's a Super Chat extension. Oh, that'd be amazing. So that's that. Amazing. And then what's interesting is going to be going forward with my particular approach. And I've done this for like mental health reasons and cultural reasons and like voting with my money and energy reasons. There's no social media, right? I just cannot, like, the benefits will always outweigh anything else. Like, if I, you know, timeline wise, if I were able to scry and look at all my kind of multiverses of eventualities, and I saw that, oh, if you did social media, then you'd be more successful and you'd be able to blah, blah, I would just, and the other end of that would be the mental health thing, would be the, I just can't, believe me, after you've jumped off, you can't go back. It's like quitting a really bad drug. Like, it's just, it's so good. Like, I'm reading now and I'm more present and I'm enjoying everything more, and staying away from Reddit and quitting Reddit entirely forever has been so good for like my jadedness, because I would just automatically like just come across stuff like spoilers and stuff. Now, I mean, I still check out news, but that has the filter, right? And, you know, sometimes headlines, you know, they're crap, you know, but it's definitely better than being in a leaks Reddit and then just coming across something that's just blatantly posted there. And what's interesting with news outlets is that studios contact them extremely quickly, and they're much, much more responsive to taking down leaks. And because I have other stuff going on in my life now, because of stepping away from social media, I I'm not even on the news as much anyway. So there's these two filters. So the news itself is way more filtered and better than like, you know, in terms of getting spoiled and extra jaded because of just the nature of it, news. And then number two, because I have energy for other things, creativity and life and travel and all that lovely stuff, that I will be naturally away from it more. Like the Dune logo, for example, it all comes back. the dune, the U. I'm telling you, it's such a good logo. It all comes back. And for that, you know, actually, you know, it's I did some snooping because I was so excited. For example, like by the time I encountered, like earlier, I'm sure alternate universe, if I was still doing the social media thing, I would have come across that straight away, boom, boom, saved it. And that quote unquote would have been cool, but that's opening myself up to, you know, leaks and stuff, which I just know, I just don't want to do. I really like, it's just, you know, first world problems, obviously, but it's just not good for the soul to just constantly be jaded, you know, which is what social media does for me personally, at least, you know, to each their own. But I came across that and there was some takedown notices, and that's great. And if I was feeling like, you know what, I don't have to be in this sphere, I would just peel away, which is just better for you, you know? So, what channels do you personally like to watch? Asks Anzac. If I were to do a pie chart, it would be Mega 64 is on regular rotation, Mega 64 podcast, because I just enjoy how they engage one-to-one, completely honestly with life and with media, art and entertainment of all kinds. And they goof around a lot. There's a lot of scatological stuff often, very like super sexual innuendo kind of stuff. But beneath that, like they're extremely intelligent folks, you know, and you know, eclectic and you know, multifaceted people, like especially Derek. Like Derek has this music stuff that he does on the side, which is rad. And they seem like very, you know, like-souled, like-hearted, kindred people. So that's regular rotation. JonTron is jostling with Mega 64 with like favorite thing from YouTube. Because JonTron is an existential, surreal, absurdist, non sequitur, stream of consciousness dude who is very kindred, and he's like energetic brother, even though we've never met. Rad dude. So if you ever watch this for whatever reason, oh my god, JonTron, like, thank you for existing. Such a cool soul, kindred soul. And then Kind of Funny is sort of after that as well. They have like what I see for them is a quasi model of where I sort of want to low key take things with this, going towards the hundreds, thousand subscribers, you know, for which we are, you know, cause it's a 100, you know, so for which we are almost 40% there. So that might be rad, you know, to get that to happen. So after those three, Mega 64, JonTron and Kind of Funny, then it's just, I flick through some of my subscriptions, which I have about maybe 200 of or something, and it's just art and entertainment focused, but I have that CNN in there, which is very, very important, at least until things die down and become less intense, you know? But for the rest, that's pretty much it. But that's a good question. Thank you. I feel like I'm being interviewed. This is cool, Anzac. Well done. I'll just be like, cheers for the awesome questions. Awesome questions. And will that let me tag you? There we go. It will let me tag you. That's fantastic. Brilliant. Good stuff. Well, it lets me at you, but it doesn't let me hyperlink to your channel, which is so weird. Again, it's so funny. I was talking about this. I don't know if I've shared it on the podcast, but so like the things that are defining our, I say this to Ray and I, when we're riffing and talking about this sort of stuff, everything that is really taking the world in the direction that it's going, you know, internet wise, is barely 20 years old. You know what I mean? Like, you know, YouTube started in 2006, I think, and really got going in 2010. Social media and all this kind of stuff really only got like any actual momentum in 2010, right? So there's this decade thing that's happening. Right? Isn't that crazy? So something so young in terms of like human history is guiding us and is like the predominant thing, you know? So, but you know, it's a double-edged sword, but I feel good things. If ever humanity was to do the utopia thing, you know, cross fingers, maybe now because of this internet stuff, we can really move towards that. So do I write a personal diary? My personal diary, the closest thing I would say is the journal that I have on albertkesser.com/journal. And that's, I love my, again, I've got, I think five to seven categories there. I have a couple of favorite numbers. So it's 3, which is past, present, future. 5, the quintessence, you know, earth, fire, water, wind, and ether. And then 8 is another of my, 7 is also important because of the 7 chakras. And then, you know, and that's energetic, actual confluences. There's no hippy dippy stuff there. It's like, it's real and provable. And then 8 is eternity. So that's another one. And then 12 is another of my favorite numbers. Just, it's just a nice rounded number, the zodiac, and then 16 for the 16 colossi. So those are like my 5 favorite numbers. No, but so for my journal, yeah, that's what it's going to be. What I'm looking at leaving behind, you know, when I go back home up there, you know what I mean? Because we all came from there, all came from all around before we were human beings. So, nothing like a private journal though, like that I keep on, like, in a, you know, regular entries or whatever. But I do love that what I've started up, and what's going to happen actually, Anzac, thank you for asking, is that I'll actually be putting a lot of the stuff that I find in my records onto that journal. The actual goal is pretty much when I'm however many years old that I leave behind this thing that has maybe a couple million entries, something like that, you know, something so comprehensive that I can just be like, okay, here you go. And then when I pass away, you know, you don't want to think about these things, but then I can just have some part of like a fund or something that just kind of keeps the website up forever, essentially, you know. Hopefully domain costs won't cost that much, and it'll just be this. That's it. That's what Albert Kesser was. He was albertkesser.com, and back in the however many years ago, and here's his record of things, and here's what he created, and it's just this lovely hub. So I've really earnestly started building that now, so I'm very, very happy. Thank you so much. You seem like a pretty kindred person yourself. I like how just forthright you are, my friend. Nice. And soulful, that's very kind of you to say. But, you know, I just like engaging with existence from a couple of different angles, and in a, you know, there's so much to consider with life, and so much to, you know, ponder and dive into and parse through, you know, that, yeah, you know, if that's something that, you know, folks who, I don't know, find that lacking in their lives are seeking a source of, then I'm, you know, I mean, it's kind of how I engage with the world. So, but if kindred people are drawn to that, that's lovely, you know? So I just, it's weird because you're saying soulful and stuff, but like, I just thought of, for some reason, I just had a flash of like the English countryside. And I want to ask you, actually, you've asked me another question. That's wonderful. But now it's time for ask me, what's your favorite like ecosystem, like place where you would see yourself building a house or something? Like that's always something that I like to think of. For me, English countryside, and then also Appalachia. You know, I love Georgia. I love the Pacific Northwest. You know, Ray and I went there in a couple of years back to see Canada. Banff was beautiful, BANFF. So Anzac asks, do you own a pet or ever owned one? No, and I never would. I mean, the thing is like owned, no. And I welcome the eye rolls that people get when they sort of pause people when they say the thing of ownership, because I just think, just like certain things that entered the lexicon that are just inherently hurtful and kind of like implicitly disrespectful, like we've shed some of that stuff, you know, culturally, that we just don't say certain things anymore, we don't say certain expressions. And I really would love if we stopped saying we owned anything, especially human, especially, you know, living things. I just always struggle, and I welcome them, please, like please level your criticisms at me for doing this. But I try to always avoid saying things like owned, even when I'm discussing things like this fantasy archetype, which I like to discuss, which is the archetype of the steed. You know, I don't even use the word mount because mount implies like you're like just using them, you know? So steed, companion, that kind of thing. So companion, yes. Animal companions are wonderful. But I would never have one because you know, they have this wisdom to them that is that is sad, that has been you know, domesticated and all that stuff, you know, over the years. And again, you know, first world problems, like, oh, this guy talking about dogs and how sad it is that they got bred out of their kind of original wolf form, you know. And I won't linger too much on it because that's sooky and no one wants to read hear that, and I don't want to take that stance either. But it is just this thing where it's, you know, when I see a domesticated dog, it's just like, actually, it's not like I'm not hyper emotionalizing here or exaggerating it. Like a little dog is like visual proof of mankind fucking with nature or messing with nature, right? So it just kind of rubs me the wrong way. But in s in and I'll never like scorn any creature. In fact, I love, you know, love pets, and whenever I visit, you know, friends' houses and stuff, I love like, you know, petting them. And but I just love showing them lots of love, and I just would never, but I would never own. And that's the thing, is like, it's almost like a contradiction. It's like people are like, oh, so you're an animal lover, so why don't you own any? It's like, for me, that's an oxymoron. It's like, if you're an animal lover, leave them alone. It's like, if you're a nature lover, don't pick flowers because you're killing it. When you pick it, it's dead. So this, it's so dumb. So just make sure to have consistency, I think, with how you love things and that you love things, you know. So favorite place is my grandparents' house in India. The atmosphere there is so soothing and enjoyable. That's lovely. That's beautiful. I would love to visit India. I first became earnestly exposed to Indian culture with Main Hoon Na in 2006 when I watched it on SBS here in Canberra. I remember it so accurately. I was living in Kingston. I would have been 14, 15, oh gosh, something like 16, 17. And one of my first jobs was as a, I was a fruit vendor in Fyshwick here in Canberra. And I would walk from Kingston, the Causeway Kingston, to Fyshwick, listening in on my little iPad mini, or iPod, a micro iPod, iPod Nano, I think they were called, Nano or Mini. And I would listen to the soundtrack, or some, you know, back then we didn't have YouTube so much, so we just like went through files, like websites, and just found music. And so I found Chale Jaise Hawani, which is the intro song of Main Hoon Na, and it would just always pump me up before work. And then also Kush Na Kaho had Baat Meri Suniye To Zara, you know, beautiful, beautiful song. And Hum Dil De Chuke Sanam, like that really, really got me pumped with Doli Talo Dole Baje, which is a really, really such an energetic song. My favorite genre of music is Indian music. It's just, there's something so, it's, I mean, like for me, ranked for, in terms of most powerful, like, you know, I love world music, I love Scottish bagpipes, and I love Japanese drums, but in terms of composition and like every, you know, like there's those star systems, star ratings that people have for films. It's like cinematography and impact and you know, performances and nuance. And in terms of what Indian music is capable of, what it's able to evoke, like it's just, it's absolutely like beyond, it's peerless, you know. So also 2006 is a long time before I met Ray. I met Ray in 2010, so I've been on my own wonderful path with Indian culture. And you know, Gojira, when I came across them in 2008 as well, you know, I became aware of their leanings towards appreciation, like, you know, Western appreciation of Eastern beliefs. Hermann Hesse did that as well, so did Joseph Campbell. And there's a lovely lineage there of just, you know what, we white people don't know anything. Like it was all developed and figured out long before by amber-skinned geniuses, you know, so from either Egypt or, you know, Persia and India and just and Asia. It's just so, and it's wonderful to defer to that and show deference because it is just true. So it's beautiful culture. Oh, thank you very much. Oh, well, no, it's because I have my Italian background. So Anzac just said that I speak Hindi very nice, but so yeah. And then, when Ray sort of Ray and I started doing some of those reactions, it was nice to dip into some of that as well. Bharat seems like a pretty cool film. KGF was beautiful, such an enjoyable film, so powerful. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the second chapter is going to be like in when it releases later. That'd be really nice to just check out the film. If we're vibing it, we might even do a similar thing where we record ourselves watching it and release some clips. That might be fun. Why not? Maybe by then I'll have it's just about setups. The thing is, the internet sometimes gives the illusion of things just happening, snap, snap, snap. But I have kind of penciled out ideas for what a setup of a permanent podcast setup would look like. But it just cannot be technical. Like if I go through this life, like that's what I'm absolutely prepared to do. Like I just will not have a house that is like a labyrinth of cables or big high def. Like it's over for me. It's like I've gotten to that point where like we're done, right? The next time I get a camera or something, it cannot be anything more complex than just a little screen and a little cable, and we are so close to cablelessness anyway. We should be truly cableless anyway. But that would be wonderful if I can wander in, and I mean, I could tell you from my mind. I could actually paint you a picture of what I would love for the studio to look like, and it would just be a lovely setup with a TV, with a MacBook there, with the HD camera there, boom. And then maybe some lapel mics sitting there. We can just stick them on, and they're Bluetooth as well, so there's no cables. Like for me, comfort with that it will always trump any rampant desire to pump out content or the fame agenda, as some people have. It's just not that important for me. Literally, the point of life is to enrich and expand and deepen your being, and help and cherish and nurture your fellow human beings and life forms, and leave a worthwhile and humanity affirming and nature honoring legacy. Yeah, that's that. Oh, this has been an interesting and amazing time. Thankful for your time, but I have to go because my mum will scold very bad. It's 3:45 in the morning. Anzac, it's been so wonderful. It's been so wonderful speaking to you, and all the best, good health to you and your mum and to your family and to your friends. I'm going to put this out as a podcast later so you can even check it back out later and re revisit it if you like to. So I'll catch you later. Bye-bye. Lovely. So that was Anzac, my lovely friend who decided to join me for this inaugural episode of the live recording of Albert Kesser Podcasts. So we're looking at 43 minutes. We might take it to 45 and then curb things off. Dune. I am really, really excited about Dune. This was fun. Oh my gosh. Right? Like that's so easy and lovely to just like whip on the laptop and chime in, and eliminating all barriers. And the one thing I, also in my little recap earlier, sorry, a forward cap or whatever that is, a forecast of the year, I didn't mention Apple events. I love my Apple events, and the Samsung event's going to be great. Google events are going to be great. I just got a little like tingle of actual excitement just then about all the cool things happening. So, but bringing everything onto the one channel has been amazing. The whole of 2020 will be about setting up that momentum in this locked in, like the website is the archive, the website is my output. In that media page, as you can see, there's the links to all the aspects. Like YouTube will be my primary, outside of the site and the store, which you can go to, albertkesser.threadless.com. That's it. It's kind of almost going to be three-pronged if we think about it. So stores of all kinds, media of all kinds, which need to have external things because you can't just entirely pump things out through the website. But the website will be the number one hub, right? So for my signed prints of my art, for the media, aspect of the podcast. You'll always be able to follow it there. And then maybe, again, the iterative things that I might do with that is I just make the buttons look nicer, you know, the links to the Threadless and all these other stores. And I'll be adding stores and adding buttons to that and fine tuning. So by the end of 2020, my goal is to have everything so beautifully set up where everything is in, you know, and that's what all of 2020 is going to be. And it's actually 2020 is almost going to be like a sample year, right? For what the channel and me going forward is going to be, right? So that's very exciting. That's really cool. So it's nice to riff with everyone here. I tuned in. Thank you, Anzac, for joining me. So I will develop maybe some graphics or something, maybe a banner that says when I might go online or something, but we'll see. This was just like a quasi-test, which ended up being a really kindred experience. So there you go. Thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. And until next time, bye for now.